Chapter 6, Section 2, Transportation. As you read, look for the difficulty of travel in early Alabama, the different types of transportation. Terms: flatboat, keelboat. When Alabama was a young state, people traveled by both land and water. Roads were narrow, rough, and often full of holes. But by 1845, travelers could get from one major settlement to another by road. The legislature passed a law about paying for the roads. It said that all men between the ages of 18 and 45 had to work on the roads 10 days each year. Some men did not want to work on the roads. In place of working, these men could loan their mules to the workers. Others could pay $10 a year instead of working. Stagecoaches and the mail. Delivering the mail was the job of the federal government. So Congress and the Postal Service decided which roads would be post roads. Post roads were roads over which the mail, post, was carried. At first, men on horseback carried the mail, but it was not long before stagecoaches were used as mail carriers. Stagecoaches changed horses at each stage or resting place on a trip. Mary Gordon Duffy described these coaches. Quote, "The heavy coach, usually painted black and gold or deep red and gold, was mounted on bright red wheels. The driver sat on a high box under which valuable parcels were stored. In the rear, a covered platform called the boot held the passengers' baggage and the mail. In the coach, seats held 9 passengers. 4 strong horses were needed to pull the load." End quote. Traveling by stagecoach might look like fun, but it was actually quite dusty and rough. It was usually too hot or too cold inside the coach. Travel on the rivers. Before white men arrived, American Indians used Alabama's rivers and creeks to travel by canoe. Later, pioneers traveled the waterways in flatboats and keelboats. Flatboats were about 40 feet long and 12 feet wide. They were made of split logs and sealed with tar. Their wide, flat bottoms allowed them to operate in shallow waters. A flatboat was basically a raft that floated with the current. The flatboats carried man-made items and farm produce downstream to market. Since flatboats could not go upstream, it was a one-way trip. Most flatboats were sold for lumber when they arrived at the journey's end. The boatmen had to walk or find a ride back upstream. Keelboats were able to go upstream as well as downstream, although not easily. They were used for the same purposes as flatboats. Some keelboats had sails. On some, men with poles or oars moved the boats. People walking along the bank sometimes pulled the keelboats with long ropes. Keelboats only operated in deeper waters. Keelboats depended on men, horses, or wind for power to move the boats. Flatboats just went with the water's current. Steamboats were a new and easier means of transportation. The first steamboat built in the state was at St. Stephen's in 1818. It was named the Alabama. The boat's first trip was downriver to Mobile, but it could not produce enough steam for the return trip to St. Stephen's. On October 22, 1821, the Harriet arrived in Montgomery after a 10-day trip from Mobile. It was the first steamboat to reach Selma or Montgomery from Mobile. By the late 1850s, there were 233 steamboats in Alabama. Most of these boats traveled the Alabama and Tombigbee rivers. Steamboats carried passengers and bales of cotton up and down the rivers. Once the cargo and passengers were on board, the fun began. The food on steamboats was often very good. Passengers enjoyed visiting from one end of the boat to the other. Bands played for dancing and entertainment. When passengers grew tired, they slept in staterooms, cabins. Steamboats did not always arrive on time, but whenever they turned up, they were always an exciting sight. Crowds waited on the riverboat landings and cheered when a steamboat appeared. The boat's tall stacks pumped out black smoke, and its loud whistle blew. On many trips, steamboats carried gold and other valuables. If a boat sank, so did the gold. Through the years, people have searched for and found some of the lost gold on the bottoms of rivers. Steamboats regularly traveled up and down Alabama's rivers until 1932. There are still a few paddle wheel boats on the state's rivers. The steam engine on land, railroads. On June 23, 1832, the Huntsville Advocate wrote about the opening of the Tuscumbia Railroad. Part of the article said, quote, "The cars were in motion throughout the day for visitors. A procession formed at 11 o'clock a.m. of the cars drawn by one horse, crowded with the beauty and fashion of the county. It was truly novel and interesting to witness the rapid and graceful flight of the majestic cars in the country where but yesterday the paths of Indians were the only traces of human footsteps." End quote. The Tuscumbia Railroad was the first railroad in Alabama. It took 2 years to build the 2 1/10 mile long railroad. Passengers could begin their journey in Tuscumbia on the horse-drawn rail cars. The trip ended at a steamboat landing on the Tennessee River. Later, steam locomotives replaced horse-drawn cars. The first locomotive, the Fulton, could travel 40 miles an hour. The Montgomery Railroad was planned in 1832. It was to connect the city of Montgomery with the Chattahoochee River near West Point, Georgia. Because of problems building the railroad, it was not ready for use until 1854. Think it through. 1. Alabama men had to work on the roads for 10 days a year. How was this like paying a tax? 2. What types of boats transported people or goods? 3. How was the first train in Alabama powered? 4.